From WHQR Public Media, this is The Newsroom. I'm Ben Schachman. Thanks for listening to this special edition for the 2025 Wilmington City Council election. This year, there are three open seats on council, and we have eight candidates, including six challengers and two incumbents. We also have three candidates for mayor, including our incumbent mayor. While the city council race is technically nonpartisan, the local Democratic and Republican parties do play a role in supporting candidates. And for city council, we have three Republican candidates, one unaffiliated candidate, and four Democratic candidates, although the county Democratic Party implemented a straw poll to narrow its support to just three of those candidates and one of the two Democrats running for mayor. And we'll have information on all of that on our show page. On today's show, we're interviewing Republican challenger Richard Collier, an engineer and member of the City of Wilmington's Planning Commission. We'll ask him a host of questions drawn from listeners and readers and our Community Agenda program. All right, well, Richard Collier, thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
So for folks who do not know you, give us a little bit of a sketch of yourself. Who are you?
Okay. I'm Richard Collier. I'm a civil engineer. I grew up in outside of Fayetteville on a farm. So, you know, farming taught you a whole lot of things that hard work and dedication and things like that. But it also taught you you needed to go to school and do some other things. So I became a civil engineer in 97. Moved to Wilmington in 97 and have been here with my wife, and we've raised our two kids here. And now we have two grandkids here in town. So, you know, Wilmington's our home. It has been for 30 years, and we want it to be forever.
All right. Well, one of the first things I'm going to ask, because we're going to spend most of our time on policy, but sure. It's like the first question people ask when they see someone announce on Facebook is, what party are they with? So we're asking all of the candidates equally what party they're affiliated with, if they are affiliated with one, and if so, why?
I'm affiliated with the Republican Party. I've been with the Republican Party really as long as I have known, so I have not really ever found any reason to change. And I consider myself a moderate type person. I try to listen to both sides, and in my best, I do my best to make sure to try to hear both sides and evaluate for an opinion. So,
all right. Well, that said, let's get into some of the policy issues.
Sure.
A lot of these are based on really what we hear from constituents, from listeners, from folks that we talked about in the community. And top one, won't surprise you, is affordable housing. So I'm curious, you know, there's no silver bullet, as people say, but
nope. What
is your take on this issue, and what would you like to see the city of Wilmington do?
So you're right. Affordable housing is a huge issue right now in our community, and it's a huge issue nationwide. I've talked to several of the folks in different cities and different states, and listened in on podcasts and other things that are expressing that affordable housing is that missing middle almost of where we don't have things. There's always the misnomer of what is affordable housing and what is not. You know, whether it's what does that mean that it is Section 8 housing, or does it mean, you know, what does it really mean? I think most people look at it as it's an 80% AMI thing. So it's not, it's kind of that middle end where the nurses and the teachers, the contractors, a lot of folks, policemen, firemen, there's a lot of people that fall in there. And, you know, so what the city needs to do and needs to begin doing is put the policies in place that aid affordable housing moving forward. Does that mean bringing different regulations through the city code to adopt for affordable housing, to incentivize folks? Does it mean public-private partnerships so that there are other avenues for people to come in? There are people in town, developers in town, that their job is to build senior living type houses and build affordable housing as well. So we want to make sure that they are able to do that through the code, and that maybe it's an express permitting type of a thing, you know, that they are able to get through the process a little bit quicker. You know, getting affordable housing in place means we need the supply, and that's what's missing, that supply piece. Everything since COVID, and probably really since the latter part of the teens, everything's been going up, and, you know, it housing alike. So to bring it into that middle ground, you know, there has to be a process that allows for people to afford the housing and people to build it.
Absolutely, yeah. The flip side of this for a lot of people is there's been a lot of pushback. I think this is sort of above and beyond partisanship. Just every time a new development comes up, you've seen the comments, you've been on the Planning Commission, so you know, do you have a sense of how to manage that tightrope walk between needing more units and people's sort of frustration with what they perceive as overdevelopment?
Yeah, it is a tightrope, and I think quality design certainly comes into play. As a civil engineer myself, I mean, that's my trade, and that's what I've done for my career. Planning is essential. If we're going to go in an infill situation or if we're going into a brand new build, quality design is what's going to aid everyone. Meaning you need to do the tree surveys that are required. We need to have a better look at how the buildings are placed and where they're placed and work with the city arborist and a local arborist, someone that can give you the ages of the tree plus the health of the tree. Then there's the roadway network. We want things, whether it's new or higher density or has a lot of height to it or any of the other things, you want them close to services. We want them close to the roads that can move the cars quickly, and we want them to where they have the availability of going to the grocery store quickly or going down the street to the CVS or those type of things. So apartment communities, affordable housing type venues, you want them near public transit as much as you can as well to, you know, get folks around if they choose not to have a car to drive in or if they're just not able. So
is there any place in the city you feel like, you know, the code or the zoning regulations could be changed to accommodate sensibly more like denser development, either that's vertical or just more units?
In the code itself, I would support height. I think height is the one that reduces the footprint, which reduces impervious surface. It reduces the tree canopy loss. I mean, it really starts to help in a lot of ways. Understanding height is also a hot button. But for you to have that type of a development and add the height to get the density and the units that we're looking for, I think that's one of the major ways that we would be able to improve upon our code at this point.
So one more question on housing, and that's sort of the bottom end of housing, and that's homelessness. Mm-hmm. You know, the city's been struggling with this for a long time. A lot of cities are. Do you think Wilmington's on the right track? Are there things you'd want to do differently? Do you feel like this isn't really a city problem? I mean, how do you think about this issue?
It's homelessness is a big issue. It's more prevalent downtown, I think. It does spread out from there. You know, we've talked to many folks across the city, and you know, there are homeless camps in various locations. Having to try to move them off private property is a difficult thing, and it's hard for the police to be able to add that much to their daily routine of trying to move those out. So I think in my opinion, I need to get more information on what we can do or what the city is doing now. What I see them doing is trying to aid in the homelessness and through some of the shelters and through a lot of the other organizations such as that folks are supporting. I would say we continue supporting those, and we continue supporting maybe enlargements of those. Maybe there are some of those that have the housing that are there for transient or homeless folks that are around.
So another land use issue that you're probably familiar with is green space. Mm-hmm. City of Wilmington has precious little options left, but you know, how do you think, is there any way for the city to continue to engage on that issue?
I think green space is one of the big things that we need to make sure that we preserve. We need to preserve the canopy. We've lost a tremendous amount of our tree canopy. And at this point, as the population grows and more development is coming in, it goes back to that being smart in development, doing a quality development. And I think if we're able to maintain the tree canopy, maybe there is some land that you can buy. Maybe there are ways with larger developments. Do you ask them to dedicate public lands for park systems and things like that? There's always a way to get to use green space and keep it manageable. But I think the big thing is how we are planning for it and how we plan for it in the future.
So I want to shift gears here a little bit and talk about economic development.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we hear a lot about this, that it is in some ways part of the affordable housing crisis. Mm-hmm. If people have better salaries, making more money, they can afford better housing. That's one way to slice that cake. But where do you stand on, you know, how the city should approach economic development? What is it? What should the city's role be?
Well, there's a few things that I see the issues with them. You know, the workforce housing shortage or affordable housing shortage, the infrastructure needs that can be roads or utilities, uneven growth. You know, there's places in the city that that are very densely held, and then there's other places that it's just not. So you want to make sure the growth needs to be a little more spread out throughout the area. Infrastructure, we got to have access to the ready sites, the sites that are already there and ready to move forward on, rather than having to wait on a long permitting process. And then, you know, we've got poor transportation access. You know, we need to update and modify our transportation access itself. Again, you mentioned employees can't live where they work just due to, you know, the high housing cost. You know, that the salaries are another piece of it. You know, you want everyone to be able to make more money and live in other places. And hopefully we've got employers that are willing to do those things and make sure their folks can live near where they're working. I think that what we would do is incentive zones, use special economic zones to spur development, you know, in those unserved areas. We also need key industries, so like supporting IT growth or supporting this AI growth. We know it's going to happen, so you know, let's support and let's invest in that. There's also these others of biotech, aerospace. There's a lot of pieces and parts, but we also need to talk about the airport itself. How do we expand the airport to make sure that we are allowing folks to come in and out of our community easily? Those public-private partnerships, collaborating. You want to make sure that we have work. They're either working with a developer, maybe it's a nonprofit, but any of those can start helping some of the housing shortage issues. And we need that regional focus that combines Brunswick County and Pender County and maybe some others as well, but predominantly the Tri-County area, in making sure that we're all moving in the same direction so it's not just one, you know, one piece doing and one is not. Workforce development. We need to strengthen the relationships with Cape Fear Community College and other community colleges to start getting folks in and out of the skilled labor jobs that they're having. I know we use Cape Fear Community College and others send folks on to other four-year universities, but GE has a wonderful program there that you go through, and when you come out, you're guaranteed a job at GE in a particular situation. They now have a surveying program that will allow folks to come work for my company now in the surveying industry too.
So what would that look like in terms of strengthening the relationship with COCC? Is that scholarships? Is that incentives for businesses to bring people on? How can the city sort of get in there and help improve things?
I think it's both. I think there's scholarship opportunities, and that may come from the private sector. That may come from the firms that would be wanting the employees. But I think there could be some incentives to the community college to add programs or expand programs, you know, and just continue to try to expand that base knowledge. So when folks are coming out, you know, coming out of that school and their education, they have a job waiting for them.
I suppose one of the questions I hear, and I hear this from conservatives and liberals, is there's sort of a soft power and a hard power version of this where there's been direct economic incentives. I think of the original PPD deal or mm-hmm. Live Oak. And then there's more of, you know, a facilitating role where you're making the introductions, but you're not actually putting taxpayer money on the table.
Right.
How do you feel about that sort of spectrum of options?
I don't know that the taxpayer's money needs to be involved in it all the time. I think some of the private public-private partnerships are a good thing. It may be the city has land in it, or it may have there may be money in it. But for the most part, I think that we should not dedicate purely taxpayer money for everything. I think there are private opportunities to help.
So when we're talking about economic development, I think it's fair to say that, you know, Wilmington is not equally blessed with affluence. Do you think the city has a role in addressing economic and, to a certain extent, racial inequality, or is that a county issue? Is that a federal issue? How do you think about that? Because we hear that question all the time.
I think the city has a role in it, yes, but the city and the county together, I mean, in effect, New Hanover County and the city of Wilmington are one place, short of a few magic lines on the ground. I think we all have a role in any equality, whatever that is, whether it be racial or diversity, any of those type of things. Yes, we have a role in it, and I think that we should do our best to make sure that the policies, the city policies that are put out, that they're there to help with that diversity and that racial inequality.
All right, I'm going to skip ahead to a question about public transportation because you mentioned that you would like to see our current public transportation upgraded.
Mm-hmm.
It's been an uneven, I think, history with WAVE. You know, the county's actually sort of very much in the game now. That hasn't always been the case.
Right.
Where would you like to see WAVE go, like figuratively and literally?
Yeah, you're right. It is an uneven balance. I think within the city limits, you can get, in most cases, there is a route very near a lot of the major throughways. The county is beginning to get some now and starting to expand into it. I like WAVE's micro ride, or I think it's micro ride is the name of it, whether, you know, you can call and order a ride. I've related it to Uber, and I know that's not exactly right, but, you know, it is a very similar type thing. I do think that expanding that program, pushing the routes out, we know with Gordon Road expanding the way it's expanding now, there's a tremendous amount of housing out off Gordon Road that, in my opinion, needs a route. I mean, there are
That's my front lawn, places. So I agree, yeah.
Yeah, there's various people, places that need some additional routes. You know, it'd be really nice to be able to take WAVE from downtown to one of the beaches, and at this point, that's non-existent at this point.
I moderated a forum recently where I asked the crowd. This is a crowd that didn't agree on a lot of things, but I asked them if they would take a bus to Riceville Beach, and every hand went up.
Yep.
So the other question I have about public transportation is that I've heard a lot of people suggest that there seems to be an opportunity for something like bedroom communities in Leland and Hampstead, or at the very least some kind of tri-county or multi-county agreement. Is that something you think Wilmington can, you know, help facilitate?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's that regional focus I talked about earlier in housing and planning and transportation, any of those pieces. I think that's we do need to have a regional focus. The WMPO is really good at that. They're predominantly roadway centric at this point, but at the same time, there are other options that are out there. We always need to expand not just streets, but we've got to be able to expand the Cross City Trail, which we are working on right now. You know, there's many options out there that's not just taking a car, not just taking a bus. You know, maybe there's some multimodal type things that come up. Maybe rail comes back into the equation. There are a lot of factors, and it will take a little bit of time to work through them all, but I do think it's a regional focus.
One thing I will note about public transportation is that we've had some talented people at WAVE. We've had some kind of bold initiatives, but funding has always been a problem. You know, is this a place where Wilmington just needs to suck it up and put cash on the barrelhead, or is there another way to help fund expansion?
I am certain Wilmington puts quite a bit of money WAVE Transit, and I know they and the county to some degree as well. So I would say that I would advocate us certainly continuing what we're doing, and once the information is put in front of me of what an increase would be and what it could do and what plan WAVE has to use it for, then certainly I would be in favor of listening to that and making a decision.
So the last policy issue that I want to ask you about is public safety.
Mm-hmm.
The Wilmington Police Department is soon to have, as we're recording this, soon to have a new police chief.
Right.
I mean, from your point of view, how do you think WPD's been doing? Are there things you'd like to see it do differently? How do you feel about public safety in Wilmington?
I think public safety in Wilmington is another one of those very hot topics. And it depends on where you live. Whether you feel completely safe or not is the way I hear it when I talk to folks about it. I have heard many people say, I feel uneasy going into downtown or coming into downtown in the evenings. You know, you and I both work downtown every day. So to what the way we see it, I don't feel uneasy in the downtown market. I see the horseback patrol that's here. I see the bicyclists that are here. Now they have some e-bikes as well. I mean, I see all those things. I understand a lot of that issue. I think there's a lot of pieces that the city is doing really, really well, and the police department, to me, should get, you know, all the respect. Hopefully when we get a new chief in, the new chief, as I think Evangelist is probably doing right now, is just starting to rebuild that culture and rebuild that inert where we like the police department and where the police like to be on the police department. But there's other pieces and parts in that, too, that we need to make sure that we're covering. I think there's some educational aspects. There's some youth programs that may be able to be expanded upon. And granted, youth programs aren't going to solve the world. But, you know, we have to start at some point where everyone trusts the police, and it's not always a situation where you have no faith in them at all. Overall, do I think it's safe in our town? Yes, I do. But I do believe that there are many specific items or areas where there's not.
When it comes to the actual officers on the police department, one of the things I hear the most is there have been some morale issues, but I think there's an underlying issue with compensation. And it almost seems like police departments are in a regional bidding war with each other. You know, we see people leave for Boiling Spring Lakes or, mm-hmm. you know, up in Onslow County. And, I mean, obviously there's only so far you can go.
Right.
But do you think the city, are there other ways to recruit and retain? Because the police department is short quite a few officers right now.
They are short quite a few officers. I know there were some new ones in the budget that was just passed to be able to add on some additional officers. Of course, that does take training and time. And then there will be, you know, promotions within. I think a lot of the retention side of it comes back to the culture of the police department and really wanting to be there, you know, really wanting to work for the city. Yes, salary is always a part of that in any situation, but I think there are other intangible benefits of, you know, what does their health care package look like? How does their retirement factor into these things? What is the advancement policy? Do they have a written policy that someone can follow, you know, if you want to step up? What is their educational? What is the transference between units? You know, if you're a patrolman and you want to move to a detective, you know, how easily is that done? I think there's a lot of things that the police department can do that is not just salary. However, salary is a component.
Fair enough, yeah. Okay, so those are our policy questions. I wanted to give you an opportunity if there's things that you want to talk about or you want voters to know about.
Sure. Well, first and foremost, I am an engineer. I'm not a politician, which anyone that hears me speak in public, you'll know that I'm not a politician. I fix things that are broken. I try to build systems that last for a long time. And Wilmington deserves a person or a leader that can bring experience, practical solutions, and that long-term vision to the city. We need to manage growth responsibly, improve safety, ensure Wilmington remains that beautiful and thriving city that we want to have for generations to come. You know, I spoke earlier, I have grandkids. I want my grandkids to experience the same things that I've seen in the last 30 years. I want them to experience the nature of the outdoors. You know, I want them to be out on the boats and those kinds of things. So to do that, we've got to plan for it. We can't plan for what's going to happen tomorrow. We will, but you've got to plan ahead. What's 10 years, what's 20 years, what's 30 years from now? And I think that's one of the responsibilities of the city and the city council is to continue that planning, to make sure you're looking ahead. We can't be only worrying about what the issues are for right this second or for this election or for, you know, for this change. We need to be able to embrace that change and be able to then take and plan for the future of it. We know the population's growing. We know that there's a tremendous amount of vehicles that come into the city of Wilmington every day, whether they're working or passing through or whatever the case is. All those things are there. We know they're there, so we've got to be able to prepare for them and plan for how it's being done. Just like when you plan for visitors coming in, that we have hotels and hotel space for them. And we have things for them to do while they're here in our wonderful city. You know, we all moved here for a reason, and most people moved here for the way of life and the culture that's in the city of Wilmington. And that's what I want to make sure that we're continuing is keeping that same feeling that we have here in the city.
All right. Well, Richard Collier, thank you very much for your time today.
You're very welcome. I appreciate that. Thank you for having me.
That was our interview with challenger Richard Collier, who is running for a seat on Wilmington's City Council. I'm Ben Shockman. Thanks for listening to this special edition of The Newsroom, and check out our other candidate interviews at whqr.org or wherever you get The Newsroom as a podcast.